Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Man, I'll tell you what, last week was weird. Was it weird for you? It was a weird week for me. Not in a bad way, by the way. I actually had what I consider to be a very productive week. I accomplished a lot of things. I got started on my one-year plan with regards to what my wife and I want to accomplish with our investing and other goals and objectives that we set for ourselves. And I really felt like the week was very, very positive, very, very productive. But ironically, over the weekend, I had an opportunity to catch up with a lot of people that I know, and I just kind of asked them, hey, how was your week? How was your week last week? And I'll tell you what, I heard all kinds of stuff. I mean, I heard everything from, oh man, I think an alien came down from outer space and invaded my boss's brain, because it's like all of a sudden World War III broke out at the office. And I thought to myself, man, glad that's you and not me. And as I explored that a little bit further, what I realized was last week was the first full week that you had, that I had, that everybody in the world had to actually go back to work after the New Year's. You know, it's the holiday break and everything kind of came, and I know a lot of people took the last week of 2021 off, and I think, to be honest with you, we were so exhausted from everything that happened to us in 2020. Did I say 2021? I meant 2020. See, it's that thing where you get to the new year and you start putting the wrong date on checks. You put last year's dates on checks. Anyhow, let me go back to my commentary. So the last week of 2020, many people just, they took the week off. Either they were trying to burn vacation days, or maybe if you're a member of the military, depending on the type of unit you're in, you were on block leave, or there's a myriad of reasons why people weren't working the last week of 2020. And I think it gave people an opportunity to just kind of sit back and take a breath and kind of realize, wow, you know what? I still have a pulse. I'm still alive, and 2020 is getting behind me. Let's get into 2021 and see what direction this particular year goes in. So we crossed the threshold into 2021. And of course, we did that, I believe, on a Friday. So, you know, even if you didn't take the entire week off prior to New Year's Day, a lot of people got New Year's Day off. Now, I know there's people out there that have to work on those holidays, and I get that. But for the vast majority of Americans, and probably people across the planet, Friday was a day off from work. And then if you don't work on the weekends, then you really had a three-day weekend. But what happens in the organizations that you work for is that things still need to be accomplished. There are still targets on the wall. There are still goals to be met. There are still reports to be filed. There's still analysis to be done. There's still sales calls to make. There's still, you know where I'm going. There's, you know, all the stuff that you do for your organization, it still needs to be accomplished. But when the majority of people are taking time off, many of those responsibilities and those requirements, they just kind of get pushed to the future, and rightfully so. But the danger is this: you show up for work on Monday, and it's the first full week of the year after, in most cases, a three-day weekend, and in a lot of cases, a full week of people just not focusing on the business of the organization. And man, you get hammered. You, and I don't mean like you went down to the bar Monday after work and just started throwing down beers, and that's not what I'm saying. You get hammered with the backlog of stuff that didn't get done. in the end of the previous year. And you spend the entire week trying to not only do the work that you're supposed to do in that week, but all the work that didn't get done that was left over from the previous week, which is technically all the work that got left over from the previous year. You're trying to like cram. You're like, okay, man, you know, I have some rest. I'm okay. I can get this done. And by the time Friday comes along, you feel like you went, well, I was going to say 10 rounds with Mike Tyson, but nobody goes 10 rounds with Mike Tyson. So let's just put it this way. You got into the ring with Mike Tyson, and for 3 minutes, you were able to run as fast as you could around that ring and avoid getting knocked out by Mike Tyson. That's what you felt like on Friday. Because when I talked to a lot of the people that I know that are still working, that was the feedback that I got. I mean, it was intense. It was crazy. It was, I mean, hearing the stories of what y'all put up with, it reminded me of what it was like when I was working full-time for an organization and I had the exact same responsibilities. I had the exact same requirements. And I'm not saying that I did exactly the same thing that you do. What I am saying is that pressure, it's there. And really, that's what I'm getting at. The pressure of the work that you do can be absolutely intense. And I think for the majority of you out there, it was very intense last week. And that's okay, you got through it. This week is a new week. This week is an opportunity to not necessarily feel those pressures unless you're in an organization where that pressure just keeps piling on. So what am I getting at? Well, I'm getting at the concept that maybe there's a different path for you to go down. Maybe there's a different way you can organize your life. When we come back from the break, I'm going to get into those concepts. Stick around.
Del Wamsley explains how he found that speck of light that got him into the lifestyle.
I had a guy that used to come into the health club every day and work out for 4 hours a day, sit in the jacuzzi, swim, play racquetball, was happy, looked great, tan all the time. And one day I just asked him, what do you do for a living? And he said, Del, I own real estate.
Well, do you own real estate? Register for our live online free workshop and find out how you can get all the things you want out of life with passive income. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Brought to you by Lifestyles Unlimited. Here's Lifestyles Unlimited founder and CEO, self-made multimillionaire, and national radio host, Del Wamsley, on getting the information you need to get through this.
So you ask yourself, isn't this the wrong time to get out of the stock market? Very well could be. But maybe it might go down. And then you ask yourself, man, if I would have had some of that money, I could have used it. People are going to be afraid. And the people who are in real estate that are losing money are going to be afraid. And they're going to want to get out. And when they do, we're going to be able to go in and buy at very advantageous prices that are going to change our family's future, quite honestly. So you need information on how to do that. You need the knowledge of how to get through this. You need to get into Lifestyles right now.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. So I'll tell you what, if you'd like to reach out to me, you can do so by sending me an email at askal@luinc.com. Again, that email address, askal, A-S-K-A-L, it's that simple, at luinc.com. The L-U-I-N-C stands for Lifestyles Unlimited Incorporated. And you can ask me anything about real estate investing. I actually get into some pretty interesting conversations with people that choose to reach out to me. And I don't care if you have real estate investing experience. I don't care if you don't have it. If you have any question at all that you would like to present to me, I'll be more than happy to answer it directly back to you. I don't have an administrative assistant or somebody on my team that, you know, manages all of my email correspondence and stuff like that. That's not how I roll. You get one-on-one with me. So if you want to reach out, for any reason, just shoot me an email at askal@luinc.com, and I will get back to you with a response. So what I'm talking about today is the fact that you probably got the snot beat out of you last week at work. And I don't care what you do for a living. If you didn't get the snot beat out of you, then I don't know. I'd say you're in the vast minority. Because I did an informal poll yesterday, which is really just me talking to people that I know, and say, hey, man, how was your week? And I'll tell you what, the responses I got were like, man, I'm just glad this week is over. Or like the one guy that told me he was absolutely convinced that some alien came down from another planet and invaded his boss's body because all of a sudden he thought that he was working in a completely different environment for a completely different person. And, you know, and I think what it has to do with is there's a lot of pressure on businesses and organizations to meet their financial metrics. But with the whole pandemic thing, you know, unless you're, you know, a major internet store like Amazon, or unless you're one of the larger grocery stores that was deemed essential, your ability to do the work that you do and to service the customers that you service or to provide products for those people has probably been impacted. It probably has been impacted. And unfortunately, I think organizations are feeling the financial pressure of what's going on in our country. Now, it doesn't help that you have, you know, elected officials in this country. I'll just say it, playing politics with the people. You know, I mean, this pandemic hit us back in March of last year, and we were all affected. Everyone was affected. We were all told to social distance. We were all told to put our masks on. We were all told to stay home, to kind of self-quarantine, because we didn't quite know what we were dealing with. And over time, we got a better understanding of what we were dealing with, and our elected officials decided that they needed to act, that they needed to do something to help the members of our society get through this thing. Because, you know, when's the last time America was told to turn its lights off? And I'll be honest with you, I haven't seen that in my lifetime. Now, I've had older members of my family tell me, oh yeah, we did that in World War II. Yeah, we lived on the coast of California, and because of the threat of, you know, potentially taking hostile fire on the coast, they would do blackouts. But I don't recall having blackouts like that in this country, outside of the fact that maybe, you know, utility companies, you know, did a bad job of managing, or, you know, maybe there was a storm or something, we had a blackout. But, you know, this is unprecedented times. And to get back to my commentary on our elected officials, they did things to at least try and help us. I mean, there was a stimulus that was provided. There was some federal benefits added to normal unemployment, because a lot of people were unfortunately put out of work. And that lasted for a while, and then it just seemed to dry up. It just seemed to, you know, not be there anymore. Now, many businesses were able to find ways to open back up, but not all businesses could do that. You know, if you have a business or you work in a business where you provide direct services to people, you know, like maybe a restaurant or an airline or things like, or a movie theater, you know, where you actually need to have physical people showing up, taking advantages of the service or the products that you provide, that didn't really bounce back so well. And, you know, just recently, the government decided, oh, well, we're going to get around to offering another stimulus. And I know there's discussion out there with regards to what are we going to do as far as other things that the government can provide to help America out. Now, I'm not suggesting that America should be an entitlement country. I'm not suggesting that at all. I think America is just fine being a capitalist country. I think we're just fine as Americans working within the structure of a capitalist society. But The drawback is this. The drawback is that I think there's an even bigger burden placed on employees right now. Because, I mean, let me just talk about a friend of mine who's a high school teacher. I mean, she teaches in the 10th grade. And, you know, she's kind of pulling triple duty. And what I mean by that is this. Not only is she physically having to be in the classroom and teach in the classroom, she's also required to do online things for students that can't be in the classroom. So she's doing double duty. And then, of course, there's all those additional projects that the school administration wants done. So that's like a, you know, a third effect on her. And she's just exhausted from it all. And if that's happening to her in the education system, I'm guessing it's probably happening to you in whatever you do. Now, I'm not telling you to give up. I am not telling you to give up. But what I am telling you is that I think in our current situation in this country, I think employers are trying to get by as lean as possible. And as a result of getting by as lean as possible, it puts additional responsibility on your shoulders. And I know you're up to it. I absolutely know you're up to it. But I also want you to do this. I want you to think about this, that there might be a better way. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to get into that better way. Stick around.
Del Wamsley talks about understanding the system.
A guy told me the other day on the radio, he says, you know, I understand the system. They let the stock market go up to feed our ego, to think we're getting somewhere, and then they crash it on us and take it all away. So now we're stuck. He says, I've lived through two of those cycles, so he started investing in real estate to get away from the cycle.
Are you ready to break the cycle? Start investing in real estate today. Find out how. Join Lifestyles Unlimited. Start with our live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. So it's a new week. You know, last week is in the rearview mirror. I mean, you know, whatever it was like for you last week, it's done. It's in the books. It's last week's business. But then again, you've got this week's business to look forward to. So one of the things that I'm going to ask you is this question. Are you happy? Are you happy? Are you doing the job that you're doing because it provides you a good feeling or some type of reward? Or are you doing the job because you need a job? That this is the job that materialized, that it was the difference between taking this job or maybe waiting for the next job. And if you didn't take this particular job and you waited for the next job, maybe there was a lack of finances in between to sustain you and your family. And maybe that's why you took that job. And maybe if you did take that job because it was the lesser of all evils, and you're doing that job, but you don't feel rewarded by doing that job, have you looked elsewhere? Did you stay on the path of continuously looking? In other words, getting that resume out there? Or did you just say, you know what? This is it. This is what became available. I'm going to do my best effort to achieve the goals and objectives of my organizations and the things that my bosses want me to do. I'm going to be a good soldier. I'm going to salute the flagpole, and I'm going to move out smartly. But maybe you're not feeling some type of reward for doing that job. See, I think there's a lot of people out there that go through the motions. I think that they take a job because they need a job, because they have to have a form of income so that they can live, so that they can eat and clothe themselves and maybe provide themselves with transportation and also a place to live. And do you really think that that is all there is to life? Well, I think sadly for some people, and maybe it's a lot more than some people, they think that's the case. That you go through the motions of working because that's how we do business in this country. We've built a society where we don't have to go out and hunter-gather anymore. We're not really an agrarian society. Now, we do have a lot of farms out there across America. If you haven't seen them, they're kind of everywhere. I have seen farms in all the states that I've visited, and I've been to almost all of them. But that agrarian society is not what America is today. It's what it used to be. And I think there's some value in owning your land or leasing your land and going out and laboring your land and having your land produce fruits and vegetables. There's some value in that. But we don't necessarily do that in today's society. You know, today's society, especially the closer you get to what I like to call the urban core, it's more hustle and bustle. It's more the noise of society. It's more trying to get from point A to point B while avoiding the masses. And sometimes we get ourselves into a rut where we think that that's all there is for us. And I'm here to tell you that's really not the case. There's a lot more for you in our society, but I think you're so bogged down in what you do that you can't see the forest through the trees. Now, I'm a firm believer that by correctly investing your money into assets that produce passive income for you, you can start to break that cycle. You absolutely can start to break that cycle. And I don't care if you have $0. I don't care if you have a 401k with $800,000 in it. I don't care if you've got an IRA or a collection of IRAs with about $500,000 in it. I don't care if you have several million dollars liquid sitting in an account somewhere. I think you can get started changing your life. I think you can start to learn how to invest correctly into assets, which during this pandemic have proven that people in this country need a place to live. Because not only are they living where they're at, they're also probably working from there and doing everything else that they do in life from there. It's almost like we've shifted over into an internet-based society. And I don't think we'll stay here. But until we get this pandemic mess under control, until our government decides to start focusing on us, the people, instead of hating each other, because that's all I see going on in the halls of Congress right now. It's like the hate is just boiling over. That's awful. That's not what this country's about. That stuff will fix itself. It will fix itself. We're better than that. But what I'm getting at is you're in a very unique place and time. You're looking at a pandemic potentially coming into your rearview mirror. You're looking at your station in life. And you're making a decision as to whether this is the way you're going to proceed for the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. Or you're going to make a decision to find a different path. And I will tell you that investing in real estate, and not just any real estate, is a mechanism that can change your life. Now, it doesn't happen overnight. And, you know, you might have $2 million sitting there in the bank. And you come to me and go, Al, I got $2 million, make me rich. That's not how it works. It's going to take a little bit of time. Nothing happens overnight. Okay, some things do, but most things of value, most things of substance, take time to build. Now, Lifestyles Unlimited, one of our core mission statements is that we will help you to retire in 5 years or less. And the reason we say 5 years or less is because we have found that our members need about 5 years on average to get it done. Now, some of our members need a little more time. Some of our members, they knock it out of the park in a year or two. And a lot of our members fall in that 2 to 5 year timeline. But the point is, you can get started today trying to do something different, something organized, something logical, something that pays you five different ways. And we can show you the path. We come back from the break. I'm going to share with you a story about a gentleman that I talked to over the weekend. It's going to really make you go, what? Stick around.
One of the things I'd like to get across is that your whole life you wanted to make a change, right? But you've never had the time? This might be it, because we have online education that you can get involved in.
We're now going to bring the free workshop to the entire country and really the world. Anybody who is interested can participate in that. We're going to live stream that free workshop and have people online with you on the live stream, talking with you, answering questions, interacting. You're really going to get a great feel for the Lifestyles community from this. And you can register for that. So if you want to find out about us, this is a great way to take a look at us and what we do.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the seven principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. That's LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Warning. Listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. So I got to share with you something that happened to me Saturday. I was hanging out with a group of buddies of mine. We were getting ready to go to one of our local indoor shooting ranges, because I think it's important. If you own weapons, you need to know how to operate those weapons safely and effectively. And we were getting together to go do that. And along that lines, one of my buddies introduced me to one of his buddies who just happened to be around us. And he found out that I host the show. So all of a sudden, you know, everybody thinks that I'm an expert in everything real estate related. And I'll be the first to tell you, I don't know everything about everything. I absolutely don't. You know, and if you don't believe me, ask my wife. She'll tell you the truth. She'll absolutely tell you the truth that I don't know absolutely everything about everything. But in this particular situation, because I was introduced as the host of this particular show, and because my buddies know that I invest in real estate and that I'm using those investments to change my life, because I've achieved something called retirement, and now what I'm doing is I'm working on something called the lifestyle. So this gentleman and I, we kind of get into a conversation, and he just starts off telling me what I would consider to be a nightmare story. You know, because he decided along the lines of his life that he would invest in real estate. So a buddy of his told him that, hey, you should be in real estate. And the guy says, yeah, you know, maybe I could do that. And he apparently owned an older property. I don't know what he used it for. That's in a part of San Antonio. And he said, you know, what I did was I went ahead and I thought I would just rehab the property. And I'm listening to him like, okay, so what did you do? And he says, well, you know, I went about and I did foundation work. And then when I did the foundation work, I found out that there was plumbing problems. And I said, well, maybe that's because you did the plumbing work. Did anybody tell you that, you know, you should hold off on any plumbing work until after you get the foundation done? And he says, yeah, I wish somebody had told me that, because I'd already spent about $5,000 of the plumbing and then wound up wrecking some of that plumbing, because when we put the property back on level, we wound up breaking more plumbing systems. And I said, okay, well, I get that. See, by the way, that is a mistake that somebody who is uneducated makes. And I'm just sharing that with you. And let's get back to the story. So then he tells me that he put in all of these new windows. And I said, oh, okay, that's like an energy saving feature. I'm assuming the house was kind of old and probably maybe had the old single pane windows. And he said, yes, they absolutely did. And then the roof looked bad. So I put like $10,000 in the roof. And I said, okay, that sounds like it might be a little bit more expensive than, you know, what a roof that the size of the property he had described to me would cost. But okay, you know, I don't know the situation. He says, yeah, there were like three layers of shingles on this thing, and apparently I couldn't put a fourth level on. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, there are property codes that say you can't have more than two layers of shingles depending on where you live, and, you know, yada yada yada. And anyhow, to make a long story short, because I'm not trying to beat up on this guy, but I want you to learn from his mistakes, because I'll tell you what, he made a lot of mistakes. And this whole story ended up with him saying he had already dropped, I don't know, by my estimation, something like $40,000, maybe $50,000 into this house. And then he tells me the big bombshell. And I'll tell you what, I had no idea this was coming, but this is what he tells me. He says, then I go to the property and there's like stickers all over the property. And I'm thinking stickers, like, you know, what, some little kid had some Post-it notes and just went and put stickers on your property, you know? And he's like, no, the city of San Antonio came in and issued me a cease and desist letter and then put stickers in certain areas of the property that were in violation. You see, what he had done is he had basically piecemealed a rehab on a property without knowing what he was doing. And although he hired people from the trades, he didn't necessarily hire the right people from the trades who would tell him that if you're going to do certain renovations in the city of San Antonio, you're going to need to pull a permit. So he had hired, in my opinion, unscrupulous contractors who didn't tell him the truth. Or if they did tell him the truth, he chose to ignore the truth and he just went ahead and did it anyway. And what that resulted in him doing was putting a bunch of money into the rehab of a property that he's not going to get back. Because, you know, he's in a difficult place now. What he either has to do is convince the city of San Antonio that everything that he did was to code and get them to give him an exception. Or he's got to pull everything basically back off this property that he added to the property and redo it. Now, that is what I call a rookie mistake. It is a huge rookie mistake. Because if he had been educated on how investors go about doing the business of acquiring and rehabbing properties, he and I would have had a completely different conversation. But because he was doing it on the fly, he was doing it based on what he thought was the right approach. He's getting hurt financially. And where we ended up this conversation was, do you think people would buy that property from me? Because I just don't have the money to go and do all the things that the city wants me to do. And I said, yeah, I mean, there are people out there that will buy that property from you. The question is this, is there enough meat on the bones for somebody to come in and acquire that property and do the corrections to the property, because that's going to cost money, and still give them the benefit of acquiring a property that can do for them what it is they hope for that property to do? He's in a rough place. He's not a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, because if he were a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, he would have never done the things that he wound up doing. First of all, he would have gotten himself educated, because that's the first thing you have to do. With anything in life, you have to have an understanding of what you're getting involved with. You just don't go hike Mount Everest without getting some sort of education, some sort of training. And along those lines, had he been properly educated and had he properly built a team of qualified people around him that were, I'll just use the term, honorable, he may not have had some of the problems that he had. Or maybe he would have at least had somebody say, hey, man, that needs to be permitted. And when he would say, well, what's that mean? He said, well, we need to go to the city and pull a permit. And if he said, no, we don't need to do that, that contractor should have walked away. See, that's the ethics of doing business. That's doing things the right way. And if he had somebody mentoring him, somebody who actually had done this type of project, who could advise him on what does the path forward look like, he would not have ventured down the dangerous journey that he ventured down. And now I'll tell you what, he's got a property that he's basically sunk all of his money into. Now, I don't know the value of the property. I don't know if he can sell the property to somebody else that may buy the property from him and get a benefit from it and at least make him whole, at least get him his money back. I don't know, because it's not my responsibility to fix that for him. And I'm the kind of guy that if he asks me additional questions, I'll be more than happy to give him honest answers. But that's the danger of going at things alone. It is an absolute danger. But I will tell you this. Real estate investing can make a significant difference in your life, one house at a time or one apartment community at a time. It can pay you five different ways. And the most important way is the cash flow that those properties produce. And when you earn enough passive income from those investments that passive income meets or exceeds your normal household expenses, you're essentially retired. And why this is so important is because you get control of your life back. It is paramount that you regain control of your life. Because when you're in control of your life and what happened to you last week at work doesn't sit well with you, you can make an informed decision to stay or go or change. And I'll tell you, it's powerful. So if you want to find out how we do it, go to freeworkshoplivestream.com. And remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.